Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. We are honored again to have Professor Lotfi Zada as our guest. And it seems to me, correct my naivete if it is appropriate, that we are talking about a major change in how people look at the world. It seems to me that we are talking about moving away from 2,300 years since Aristotle of how does the world work, our just basic premises, into a place that has more flexibility, where we can adapt in new ways. Is this just foolishness on my part, or are we really talking about a major shift in how we can perceive our experience?
Well, I'm pleased to hear what you're saying, and of course I feel flattered. I would hesitate to say yes, of course, so forth, because that would sound presumptuous and perhaps even arrogant. But I do believe that there's quite a bit of truth in what you say, and I try to be objective to the extent that I can. However, it will take time, I think, mm-hmm. before this becomes universally accepted. Mm-hmm. In other words, there are some people today, perhaps, who feel the way you do, but there are also many others who would feel offended by this sort of a mm-hmm. thing. He would say, look, I mean, that's nonsense. You know, it's nonsense to say that this thing will have a big impact on this and that and so forth.
Well, there is great discomfort in any changes.
That's
there
right.
not? Even if you're not right, at least movement gives right. us a chance to evolve, doesn't it?
That's right. Now, what I would like to do is to elaborate on my perhaps perception of what the impact of this thing might be. So we have a situation where today, I think, if you ask the members of the scientific community in various fields to agree or disagree with what you said, I think that most of them would disagree. Most of them would say, no, that's nonsense, that's hype, this is all sorts of other uncomplimentary terms mm-hmm. that one may think of. But I think that in the long run, what you are saying will be seen as being correct. So we are dealing with a situation in which, as you pointed out yourself, there are traditions that are centuries old, mm-hmm. which accord respect to what is precise, logical, rational, whatever, and perhaps tend to look down on what is fuzzy and imprecise and intuitive and qualitative, etc., etc., etc. So these are very deep-seated traditions.
Very.
Very deep-seated traditions. So that
in the West, in particular,
and so, and a big change has taken place in my own thinking, because up to a certain point, I was very much steeped in that tradition. So I feel like a person who has lost faith in something and got off the train, and so some of my colleagues, for example, feel that I'm sort of a little bit of a traitor in the sense mm-hmm. that, you know, I abandoned this quest for precision and rigor and this mm-hmm. and that and so forth. But I don't care.
So that helps, doesn't it?
I don't care. And this has slight analogy what happened in the field of art, where up to a certain point in time, you know, we expected paintings to be very precise and this and that, but then we had the Impressionism and various other things, traditions changed, photography came into the picture, mm-hmm. and so we know, of course, that many of the painters who paintings today sell for millions of dollars, I mean, died in poverty from mm-hmm. starvation. Mm-hmm. There are many changes that have taken place,
Van
not just
Gogh
in sciences.
Van Gogh was not particularly well received,
exactly.
nor were Cézanne and Picasso
That's
when they
right.
tore up
Most
the
of
old
them died in poverty. Yeah. Same thing happened in the realms of music and many other fields also. So the point of the whole thing, certain traditions become established, and it takes a while before the realization creeps in that perhaps those traditions should be called into question. So the point of the whole thing is this, that what Fuzzy said, theory, Fuzzy logic, let's call it that way, what it questions is the tradition of according respect to what is precise and rigorous and quantitative, etc., etc. So that, in effect, it says that the real world is too complex for that sort of a thing.
The real world is too complex for that kind of
complex and too
Christmas?
Imprecise. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's too imprecise. That we will not be able to design the kind of machines that artificial intelligence wanted to be able to design if we continue on this path of trying to deal, to mimic human behavior in very precise terms. Cannot be done.
Black and white, yes and no.
Yes. I see it all over the place. People try to solve certain problems using these tried and true methods, which have proved to be very successful in the realm of physical system, mechanistic system, and so forth. They try to take those techniques and apply them to psychology, to philosophy, to artificial intelligence, to all sorts of things. They won't work.
Yeah. And you are
work.
Fighting success
yes.
that the old
right.
model had.
Exactly. They won't work. But sooner or later, the people realize that they're trying to make a hole in a cement wall with their head. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. And at that point, there will be certain receptivity. Receptivity to techniques which represent, in effect, a lowering of sights. You said you cannot do it. Now, this happened in mathematics, actually, in many instances where people were trying to solve certain problems. In antiquity, for example, the trisection of the triangle, squaring of the circle, this. And then at some point they said, you know, it cannot be done. It happened more recently in Gödel's incompleteness theorem and many other things where you had to lower the sights. You had to lower the sights. So basically then, I think the situation is this. We have to try to develop logical systems which, like fuzzy logic, accommodate the imprecision of the real world, uncertainty of the real world. You say you cannot, for example, the concept of a theorem from this point of view is much too narrow. We try to prove theorems about all sorts of things. My colleagues try to prove all sorts of theorems and things, but theorems cannot be proved in those realms. You cannot prove a theorem. And you cannot prove a theorem of the kind that is relevant. You can prove a theorem that takes some problem and distorts it to a point where it fits a certain precise framework. But then you're not solving that problem. You're talking about solving some sort of an idealization of that problem, which may have, be of no relevance whatsoever to the real problem.
And you're a pretty practical guy with this stuff, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes, I am. So the situation then is this. In field after field, what I see is that people try to apply these precise techniques, sophisticated techniques, to the solution of problems which don't lend themselves to that kind of thing. Decision analysis is a good example. Decision making. Well, people try to come up with very sophisticated theories and this and that. They won't work. I hope I'm not offending too many people.
Well, if you are.
Yeah, but well, you know, I have stepped on the toes of many people in the past. So, and as somebody said, you know, friends come and go and enemies accumulate. But,
and you're blessed with many of them, of both.
That's right. So what happens then is this, that, and I must say that people get all kinds of recognition. They get, I hope I'm not offending even more people than I intended to. They get promotions, they get prizes, they get recognition, they get all kinds of things. For coming up with theories that have very little relevance to real-world problems. That's the fact.
Relevance is right at the heart of how do we make progress, yes, isn't it?
That's right. Let me take a pot shot at one field.
Sure.
I hope that, again, I'm not losing too many friends in so doing. Economics.
Yes.
Now, we have mathematical economics, and so
well,
if
and economics matters to all of us.
Yeah, exactly. So you look at the book on mathematical economics, you look at the issue of journal, and many theorems, proofs, this, that, so forth. My contention is that those theorems have absolutely no relevance to real-world economics, no relevance whatsoever. whatsoever.
I can see why some people would take exception to that
exactly.
if they'd spent their life developing
exactly.
those
mathematical likes to, theorems. Nobody likes to be told that this is the case. But
went down the wrong road.
Well, today perhaps what I say may be considered to be untrue or derogatory,
heretical
whatever.
Anyway.
But in 50, 100 years from now, people say that was obvious.
Yeah. You
see, that was obvious. So in that sense,
and it responds to a certain common sense in those of us who don't really live our lives by the economic books. But it doesn't make sense to me that the economic books are not reflecting my reality.
Exactly.
And your perspective does, you think, reflect closer
well,
to
the extent,
reality?
I don't want to use a brush that's excessively broad. And of course,
and I do tend toward that.
Yes, of course, there is a lot of economics that is real in the real world. But notice that I was talking not about economics. I was talking about mathematical economics, mm-hmm. you see. Mathematical economics. So when I open a book or an issue of a journal and I see one theorem after another theorem, it evokes in me the kind of reaction that I described. That is, this is beautiful. I have to give this person, the author, all kinds of prizes. But if he asks the question, is this of relevance to the real world? What is the degree of relevance? I say zero. Now, I think you'll agree with me that if I told you that I proved the theorem in the realm of religion, you say, forget it. I mean, you cannot prove theorems about religion that would be of interest to theologians or, you know that. What I say is that the same thing applies not just to religion, but to many other fields too.
And we're going to come back in one moment and explore some of these other fields.
Right.
We have the great pleasure of having as guest Professor Lotfi Zada. Bill Russell is here with me. This is the Paula Gordon Show. We will be right back.